The following message is from the 2025 IBCD Summer Institute, Wise Counsel, Applying Ancient Truth to a Modern World.
Take it away, Dave.
Hey guys, my name is Dave Robinson. I'm a counseling director of a growing church in Bend, Oregon. I've been doing that for about 11 years there, and really just excited about what the Lord's doing through IBCD there and the great training materials that they have. And taught elementary school for a long time, was a principal for a good amount of time, and just had a good chance to be exposed to a lot of great educational research and understanding about how people learn and how they can take that learning into practical application. So Joseph and I did some workshops for years on these topics in public school, but we've always had a burden to want to reach the Christian education community with what we call active learning and cooperative learning, where there's much more buy-in, much more personal responsibility that you take for your own learning, much more social engagement. Those things prove to have much longer retention of memory and deeper understanding and better application. So it should be fun today. Relax. We'll do some talking amongst each other. We'll do some movement in different places, but it should be a fun time together. It's my sidekick, Joseph.
I'm your sidekick this time?
Yeah.
I thought I was sidekick last time.
No, I was a sidekick last time. This is where you go.
All right, stand up. Let me kick you in the side. A couple more people, you can come on in or English.
Everybody seat back a foot. Throw a couple more chairs.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, hop in. Yeah, here you go, guys.
There's another one over here. Yeah, you got it. Good. So, much like Dave, I spent almost all of my career in education. Started out as a high school teacher and then worked my way down. Became a middle school administrator, high school administrator for a short period of time. I say down because being a teacher, in my opinion, is sort of the sweet spot in education anymore. But I became an administrator at all the different levels and ended up as a superintendent of public schools in a small district in Oregon. Retired from that, and my wife told me I was too young to really retire to go get another job, so I became a professor at a university teaching and training principals and superintendents. Our connection started when Dave actually had my oldest son in his class as a first grader.
Had to send the kid to the principal.
Yeah, he had to send the kid to the principal's office, so... we've been working on these kinds of concepts for many years now. And so we're hoping that we can give you a little glimpse into what we believe is not just biblical, but peer-reviewed research says this is the way you can help people learn more. That's what we're going to try to do. So, with that being said, you're now in what we call a community circle. In this kind of learning environment, this is a community circle. The first thing I want to ask you to do is look around and tell yourself, how is this environment different than sitting in rows where you're facing all forward and not seeing each other? Just think about that for a moment. This gives a different dynamic. The second thing I want to ask you to do is to think about if you were to introduce yourself to someone and tell them your name, the church that you belong to, the location of that church, and what your role is in that church, how would you explain that to them? Just think for a moment. The technique there is called think time, giving people an opportunity, especially when you're in a new environment, giving the time to sort of think, especially for introverts, giving the time to think. But now we're going to ask you to follow through by answering the question with a turn and talk.
I think that's community circle there, buddy.
Oh, you're right. Community circle. You have the opportunity to share that now with the group. You always also have an opportunity not to share if you choose not to. So I'm going to ask Dave to sort of explain the power of using the community circle, because I think they need to understand that.
Yeah, community circle is a great way to, we're all going to have a chance to talk, and like Joseph said, if you want to pass, that's okay. But it, what it does is you give to the group and are received from the group. And then everybody has had a chance to at least talk once, so they'll be much less hesitant to talk a second time. So it's a real nice warm-up for everybody. It's a chance for us to just get a little visual, a little understanding of who we all are. And we go all around and have an equal opportunity to have some talk time.
So my response to that question would be, I'm Joseph Hunter. I attend a church in a small town in Washington State, north of Seattle, called Mount Vernon, in the Church of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. And my role there is I'm an elder on staff. I'm part of the biblical counseling leadership there. And I also am in charge of discipleship for the church. So that's my role there.
Dave Robinson, Bend Bible Church in Bend, Oregon. And I am the counseling director.
Jeffrey Allen. I'm from Living Word Fellowship Church in Houston. And I am a ministry development director and counseling coordinator.
Lorena Townsend from this church, Calvary Baptist Church, Irving, and I wear lots of hats. Right now I'm the IBCD event coordinator. I also head up the women's counseling ministry. I do all the counseling training here at the church, and I am a women's ministry leader and teacher, and I do a lot of stuff. So I don't even know how to encapsulate it. I don't have an official title.
I'm Bob Weaver, and I'm from the Inland Empire out there. We have four churches called Sunrise Church, and I'm the volunteer director of biblical counseling for our churches and small group here on the side.
Thank you for sharing, Bob.
I'm Sarah, and I go to Christ Bible Church in Chatsworth, and I can serve on the worship team.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hi, I'm Sergio. I'm also from Christ Bible Church in Chatsworth or Mission Hills.
Someone from
Chatsworth. Okay,
that's
around that area. And I'm one of two pastors there.
I'm
Vivielle.
I'm from San Diego. Our church is Pacific Hope, and I'm a member, and my goal is to just love my fellow brothers and sisters and help them grow in the Lord.
Thank you, Dan.
My name is Elias Curtis, and I'm from the Pacific Church in San Diego, and I just started helping out with the counseling section
of the
church.
Thank you, Elias.
I'm Don Roy. I'm a member of First Baptist Church in Slidell, Louisiana, and I teach Sunday school class and lead the counseling ministry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amy, and I attend Lighthouse Church in Los Angeles. They are located in Glendale, not too far from here, but we recently moved to Sierra Madre. That's more east of Pasadena. And I serve in New Visitors Team, Photo, Video, and Communion.
Thank you.
I'm Jordan Williams. I'm the director for the Master of Arts in Christian Counseling at Gateway Seminary in the Inland Empire.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm Jared B. and a member of Cornerstone Fellowship in Riverside. And his crying.
Music tutorial. Don't worry.
No worries. And just a member. Serving at the moment.
Thank you.
I'm Jane. I'm from a small Korean church in Rolling Heights. I'm here with my company. I'm a therapist, and at church I have a lot of serving roles. I'm a youth teacher. I serve in the English ministry as like a person or chapter here.
Super, thank you.
My name is Sharon Bernard, and we go to Christian Assembly and People Rock in Greenville on Saturday nights, and then Sundays we go to Grace Church in Sun Valley, and then every couple months I go to Japanese church where my daughter is very involved. And I've done a lot of things, Christian Assembly's going things, but right now I do some tech stuff.
putting lyrics up on the screen and things like that.
Thank you.
My name's Rosalyn. I'm from Lighthouse Community Church down in Torrance, and I'm one of the staff counselors there.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I go to Cornerstone Bible Church, which is about 30 minutes east of here, mm-hmm. and I serve in the discipleship and care ministries.
Thank you.
My name is Gabriel. Cornerstone Community Church in San Clemente, and one night I'll do like a recovery for men and women, and then once a month I do first and fourth grades.
Thank you. Hello, my name is John Boyer, a member at Cornerstone in San Clemente, the church. I work for Hope Ministries. I disciple guys. I'm a disciple myself. I help to disciple others in a recovery program, and I am a new biblical counselor, and that's why I'm here. Thank you for sharing. So this is difficult for some folks, but what I just want you to think about these questions. Did you learn something about other people in this group by doing that quickly? Yeah. So the other question is, did you see people listening closely to others? They can make better eye contact than when you're in rows, right? So it changes that dynamic listening. You get more listening that way. And this last question is one, and if you want to pop out and answer this, that's fine. How did you feel presenting yourself to the group once this got started? If you want to share, pop out. Just share. Nervous?
I was excited, actually.
Excited?
Got an idea, that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, good. Good. Mm-hmm. Impacts how you feel when you're in a group and you get some sort of recognition. And so when we're training people, we really want to pay attention to that instead of just lecturing to them all the time. Okay?
So this is just, again, one of the different discussion protocols that we're going to learn today that allow for everybody to be involved, everybody to be heard, and everybody to be able to speak. With all that equity of conversation. So that was called a community circle. We're going to do another one called Turn and Talk. For this one, I need everybody to gather your stuff in your hands that we gave in so everybody's got it. And we're going to count 1 through 10 around the circle, and you have to remember your number. Everybody got it? 1 through 10. Got 10 fingers. You can make a sign there. There you go. Nice and loud.
1,
2,
3,
4,
5,
6,
7,
8,
9, 10,
11.
Nope, 1. 1. 2 ones.
2,
3, 4, 5,
6,
7,
8,
9,
10.
Perfect. Actually, we're going to give her 10.
No.
Yeah. You're number 10.
Number 10.
Okay, so here's what's going to happen. When I ask you to do this, I'm going to have you find somebody with the same number, and I want you to sit next to each other in the empty chairs. So let's all stand up. Maybe put the number on your finger if you want. Try to find somebody with the same number and sit down together in two chairs in a different place.
Seven.
Back to the room. All right, good job, you guys. So this will be fun. We get a little more social involvement here. We'll have some fun on this. I'm going to give you a question, and we're going to do the quiet think time again. And there's a couple advantages to that quiet think time. When you're ready and you know what you're going to say, you can more fully listen to the partner next to you, right? Because so often we're thinking about what we're going to say while somebody's talking to us. But now I know what I'm going to say, and so I can give myself fully to listening to the person next to me. So it's really nice to have a little bit of time to gather your thoughts, to think through, to be able to process how you want to articulate something. And then when we start, you can listen well and then have a chance for you to talk to as well.
Okay, so
yeah.
Tell me, what's involved with listening really well?
Well, to be a good listener, you really have several different components. You're listening with your ears, you're listening with your eyes, and really you're listening with your heart and really trying to identify and connect with the person that you're meeting with. So we want to see good eye contact, positive body language, good patient gestures, leaning in, talking together. So that'll be one thing to think about. One question at the end will be, how do I know
how did you know that you were being listened to well? So think about that. But here's your question to think about with silent think time. Is that, why did you decide to take this workshop? And what expectation or hope or goal might you have for having attended? So I'll say that again. Why did you take this workshop, and what was your expectation or goal for this workshop? So when I say go, you're going to turn. You turn your chair a little bit towards your partner. Go ahead and do that. And just stay in the same circle up. And when I say go, you're each going to have an opportunity to talk to each other and share why you took the workshop and what your goal is for the coming. Everybody good? What questions do you have? You notice I did not say, does anybody have any questions? That's a conversation killer for sure. And you say, what questions do you have? You assume that people have questions and are ready to do that. So, are you ready? Turn and talk to your neighbor. Go. What is one thing, one short, make it nice and short and sweet. What is one thing that you guys kind of had in common in your conversation about one of you? Just shout it out.
We have zero expectations.
We didn't know what to expect. Yeah. Like, what is this about?
We both expected something different.
Uh-huh.
This was the most interesting one in the list.
We thought we could apply what we're learning here.
Good.
We didn't have enough time.
Yeah,
that's great. Good. So again,
stop. I want you to look around and think about what you just saw, guys. What kind of atmosphere has been created here now? Okay?
The ice is broken.
Completely changed the atmosphere. Think about how many workshops you sat in with rows and someone lecturing at you the calm time. Is this different? Mm-hmm. This is what you need to do to engage folks. Go.
And just one last quick question is, how does it feel to do this kind of conversation with people you don't even really know, but in a safe place that's moderated and you hear? How does that feel? Talk to your partner about that. Good job, you guys. Thank you. That's the hardest part of breaking into great conversations that people are having. Well done. So again, just give us a word, just shout out. What was a word or two about how you felt about your conversation with someone?
Warm.
Enjoy.
Warm.
Exciting.
Comfortable.
Fine.
Interesting.
It's hard to talk about things that, I wanted to ask him more questions about him personally, so it's hard for me to, I want to know more about him so that I feel more comfortable talking to him instead of being prescribed what I have to talk to him about. Then I just feel like I'm performing.
All right, good job, you guys. So we've done two. We've done the community circle protocol. We've done the turn and talk protocol. We're going to go over a little research and just a little bit of teaching for a bit, and then we'll go back and apply some of those things that we're talking about.
Okay, you want to turn so you can see the screen briefly?
Should we get
it right? No, stay right where you are. Just turn so you can see the screen. So a little, and it's not bad to give direct input. It's necessary to give direct input, but you need to break up direct input with sort of interactive processes so people stay engaged and they can apply what you're teaching them. So this is a real quick sort of review of research. There are a few key concepts that I'd want you to understand while leading others in activities. And the reason for going over this is because it should guide you to teach in the ways that Christ taught. Also, the way Christ taught, as we've looked at research, and I think I shared with you, I am a researcher. I've taught research for years. Research proves out Christ's use of various teaching styles as effective. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to practice this for a minute and think through this a little deeper. If I said to you, I'm going to say something to you. If I said this to you, I'm going to ask you to reflect yourself and say, how true is that for me? Is it true of you that what you have to say is more important than what your students learn?
No.
Just think. Is it true in your heart? Is it more important what you have to say than what they learn? Now, this really happened to me. I went to my pastor a number of years ago, and he, well-trained in exegesis, great preacher.
I said to him, is it more important what you have to say than what we are learning? And he looked at me and he blanched. And he said, of course it's more important what I have to say. And then he stepped back with a sheepish grin and said, I get your point. Now, when we're trying to train people, that's a different environment than the sacred duty of standing in the pulpit and proclaiming the gospel. Different. Different dynamics. But outside of that, what you're doing to help people learn is vitally important. And what we know from research is that the more you are on this end of the scale with lecture, the less people take away in long-term usable knowledge. If you move it up to note-taking, it improves. You move it up to discussion, it improves. But what really makes a difference is dynamic, interactive activities like this, because it engages all parts of people's learning styles. With different learning styles, you're hitting on different learning styles as well. So it is much more effective in terms of what they actually learn and what they can remember and apply later. I'm going to give you an example of Christ. If with Christ was on one-on-one situation, it was highly interactive and highly personal and was focused on conversational probing. However, when Christ moved to small groups, it was instructional and he caused people to reflect. And the purpose was to clarify practical things in their life. The third level, when he moved to small crowds, he used dialogue processes and direct teaching, but it was still socially interacting, even with small crowds. Direct, provocative questioning. But when he got to large crowds, most people, when you read through the Gospels, they sort of gloss over the fact that people were turning to each other asking, what is he saying? It was still interactive and socially connected, even in large crowds. But it was proclamatory. He was declaring that the kingdom has come. He's declaring truths. But even in that, there was interaction with people, because we know that people learn more if they're interacting. So for our purposes, we really want you to experience this, and this is the only short little lecture piece that you're going to have in this. The rest of it is interactive and experiencing some of the strategies that we teach. With that being said, I want you to use a strategy that we use often, which you do not see in most training. I'm asking you to think about what you just heard about the research. How would you paraphrase that to your neighbor? I want you to turn to your neighbor and do a one-sentence paraphrase or two sentences, but short and to the point. And you both get a chance to do that. Go.
Today is going to talk a little bit now about the problem with lecture. And he's also going to talk about the new pattern that we're talking about. Go ahead, Dave.
So the problem with just lecture, especially when it's a doing thing, I use the analogy of golf. If you want to be a better golfer, if you want to learn to play golf, I'm going to sit down for 30 hours of being taught. Am I going to be a better golfer after 30 hours? No, right? There has to be some kind of interactive exchange happening there where I'm practicing, receiving feedback, and I'm growing intellectually as a golfer, but also I'm growing physically as a golfer. So I think that's a bit of the analogy about the way we teach for counseling sometimes. Simply by lecture and receiving, instead of actually taking smaller chunks and then processing and practicing those as we're going. So that's where we're looking at with the active engagement advantage in counseling training. If you look at the two diagrams, one on the left would be the traditional method where a teacher is talking to students. That's the lowest step, is when a teacher is well prepared and they're able to give a lecture, they talk to the students. And then the second level would be students talk to the teacher. They might ask a question and have a little dialogue, but it's just two of them talking the whole time. The third highest level of interaction is where we have students talking to students. And organizing that, facilitating that, just as we've been doing so far, is not easy, but it's very possible and it's very fun.
And that's where you kick up the learning.
That's where the learning grows. So this is what we've been talking about here. And again, can you imagine now compared to traditional instruction in biblical counseling, if somebody's able to get learning and practice and feedback while they're being trained, they gain confidence, they feel like they've counseled people, they've been counseled themselves in the classroom setting, and when they're ready for supervision and they counsel on their own, they're much better equipped than had they been and had without any practice at counseling. So our biblical counseling training involves a lot of information internalized, articulated, and then opportunities to practice with one another so that you're confident when you go into becoming doing more formal counseling. So that's this. We use what we call a flipped classroom. The traditional classroom on the top is where students will get all of their content in class, usually through lecture. And then they'll go home and work on what they heard, what they learned, and homework in isolation, perhaps. We're flipping that around. We're going to say, let's get the content outside of class, whether that's book or video. IBCD Connect is such a great resource for that with counseling training. We get the content outside of class, take notes, and come prepared, come to class, process that information together. Talk about it. Talk about situations of the topic that you were in and share with one another those situations you had. Encourage and counsel one another through that. So every time that we come back to class, we're engaged in learning and we get the content outside of class. It's called flipped classroom. Everybody say that.
Flipped classroom.
You'll never forget. Yeah, and this has just proved to be a very beneficial method of learning with many more advantages than typical classroom instruction.
Get an opportunity now to look at an article. I think y'all should have picked the article up as you came in on sleep. Go ahead. Yeah, it's you.
Yeah, so what I want you to do is just the introduction and section one. I want you to read through that. Read through it slowly, and I want you to highlight two or three things that were meaningful to you. What stuck out to you in the introduction and in the first section of the article? Introduction and number one. So when you finish peaceful sleep as a gift from God, finish that section. Go back, reread a little bit, highlight. We're going to give you at least 5 minutes to quietly work on that. If you don't have a pen or a highlighter, just remember what section it was. What two or three things really stuck out to you and were meaningful to you, you made a connection with, something that reminded you of the topic we're in? So go ahead and take 5 minutes of quiet work time here.
For reading the whole book?
No, just the introduction and the number one bullet.
I got you.
The paragraph number one. Yep. feel like you've been able to identify at least one thing. Just kind of look up so I can see where people are. If you need a little more time, keep reading, that's okay. So, what we're going to do next is what's called a four-square. I'll explain everything and then we'll go into a new formation here. And what's going to happen is we're going to do groups of four. Just stay where you are right now. So, we're going to go four, four, four. You good, Bert? No, it's here. Okay. Four, four, four. Are yours already in group? No, not yet.
Great. Okay. I can do it.
No, it's perfect. Now we got four. We have groups of four. So what's going to happen is when we start, you're going to put your chairs in a close circle. And then one at a time, you have an opportunity to share. And I want you to say the exact words. Say the exact words. These are the texts that made me think. And then this is my response to the text. This is why it felt important to me. So everybody has a chance to do that. You can go in a circle. Don't talk too long. Make sure everybody has good equity of conversation and time to talk. And that's, we're going to do what we call a four square on that. So again, identify the text that was meaningful and why it was meaningful to you. And we'll go around sharing those together. And you can have a little bit of conversation along the way about what somebody says if you want to. But make sure everybody has a chance to share. Go ahead and get in your circle. One at a time, around in the circle, sharing your text and a thought.
And a reminder, use good listening skills. Eyes, ears, heart.
And the youngest person at your group is going to be the timekeeper facilitator to make sure everybody has a chance. So figure out who's the youngest person, they're the facilitator.
So, I'm going to call your attention back to the whole group. You can stay in your four square if you like, because I'll have you move in a few minutes. These are just questions to reflect on. These would be process questions, and if you're doing a training, and we're on time crunch, so if you're doing a training and trying to help people continue to use these techniques, you would give them a chance to sort of talk about this in a group. But I'm just asking you to reflect on this. How has this atmosphere changed even more now that you're working with more than the person that you started with? Do you feel more connected to other people? One of the things we know about brain research is this. When people don't feel safe, they downshift their lower brain in a self-protection. They push away, they don't feel safe. But when you can help them feel safe in the atmosphere, they can operate at higher levels of mental capacity. They can evaluate, they can synthesize. You can't get people to do that if you don't create the right atmosphere. Another question. Did you get an even better connection with the original person that you were with? I see heads nodding. Yeah. So this is why it's really important. I'm going to cover a couple of issues now. What we know is if you use this, you see these are kind of four square structure here. If you use this kind of structure, the teacher's role changes. They move to facilitator of learning and not the sage on the stage who has all the knowledge and they're going to pour it out on you. You ever heard that metaphor before? We don't want to do that. This is way more effective. When you use this kind of structure, it's especially important with classroom teachers in those kinds of situations. Teachers typically use a tremendous amount of time on discipline. In this kind of atmosphere where people are taking control of their own learning, it's very little. And what they spend most of their time, teachers spend most of the time doing is helping, facilitating their community, giving feedback, encouragement, praises. Lecturing is almost non-existent in this kind of thing. It has its place where you need to give direct details, but it reduces it. Students are in control of their own learning. Why do we ask process questions? We know, so I've given you the big overview of why you want to use an interactive process. But why are we continually asking these questions? Because what we know is that you have to ask reflection questions connected to what they're learning, because if you do, learning jumps even further up. Huge. You ask them content questions, make them think about their own thinking. You talk to them about the social and collaborative skills they're using. You need to teach collaborative skills at times. And the last thing is personal. When people walk away, one of the first things they're going to ask themselves is, how do I feel? What did I get out of that? Was that safe for me? They're going to ask those kinds of questions. And when you change the atmosphere and how you're presenting information, it changes how much they can learn. Here's what we see. If you just use lecture, you have somewhere about 18 to 20% that people will remember short term. Long term, nothing. Well, little to nothing. When you use an interactive process, the things that we've been doing in here, by themselves, you have a huge jump in what people are going to learn and be able to take away and actually use and remember and apply. But when you use the process questions like we've been doing, it jumps even further. Now, the question to you is, why wouldn't you do that? If you know that, why wouldn't you use these kinds of techniques? And one of the very first answers is, because I don't know them and I don't know how to.
All right, guys, let's bring this down to biblical counseling. In a normal class before time, we would take the opportunity to share with each other a time that we had trouble sleeping. And your partner would try to offer you a little bit of encouragement, maybe have a Bible verse for you, ask you some questions to really seek to understand. Joseph and I are just going to fish what we call a fishbowl real quick on this together for the sake of time. But no, this is where we're going now with these sorts of things. We're beginning to counsel one another and process. So if everybody just wants to stand up and kind of make a ring around Joseph and I, this is what a counseling training, mini counseling session would look like. Yeah, you can sit. That's okay. You can sit in your circle if you want to stand. Either way.
This is a technique that's called fishbowl.
Yeah. So we're the fish in the bowl. You're outside looking in the bowl. So Joseph, ask me how if I ever had a time difficult.
And this would be a question you set up for other folks.
So,
Dave, have you ever had a time where you really struggled with sleep?
I've had struggles with sleep all through my life, but just a couple times that have been really, really severe.
Yeah, yeah. So, what did you do?
Well, the situation was involving an abuse case in counseling, which is absolutely the worst, most horrible, complex things in the world. Abuse case went on for months and months in our church, and there was a lot of controversy and difficulty around it. But what I would do in the middle of the night when I'm ruminating and just can't stop, I would know I have to send somebody an email. I'd sit and write the email, get it out of my brain, commit it to the Lord, and then want to read it tomorrow before sending it. But that would just get it out of my mind, at least for that time. I felt like I could do what I could do at that time, and I felt a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This article helped you consider
it. I just think it's so good for all of us to remember how important it is to have basic health conditions need to be met before we dive right into spiritual issues.
So what I hear you saying is that you've experienced things that were difficult, where you saw sleep as an issue, and some of the ideas there would be helpful in the future.
Totally. And I'm also just amazed at how God thinks about sleep and why it's so important, how he talks about it so much. We should value that in the same way. It's important. Yeah. Okay, good. Right. Cool, guys. So we're gonna finish on time. If we don't do anything else right, we'll finish on time. And we're going to ask you to just kind of just reflect a little bit. We jammed a lot of stuff in today. I just hope you had a little bit of an understanding of how this can be so powerful in creating this community. Imagine if we did this for an hour and a half every Monday night for 13 weeks. How well would we know each other? How well would we be able to minister in each other's lives? How much more confidence would we have in counseling other people having that practice? So think about that for a second, and we're going to do a protocol called popcorn.
I want to add one other thing to this. This is not only just about training people in biblical counseling. This works with Bible studies, discipleship groups, all the places where you get other people together. These techniques work in all the situations.
Yeah, Joseph and I do trainings in Christian schools, training teachers, adult education teachers. A lot of these things are all around. So just think for a minute. You know, how did our experience today
how did that enhance your ability to counsel someone? How might that enhance your counsel, your ability to counsel? Protocols that we did, the conversations we had, the topics we learned about, how would that benefit your counseling even more from here, if you practice these things from here on out? So in that, what is your one thing you really appreciated from the workshop that will benefit your counseling in the future? Let's just leave it at that. One thing you really appreciated about the workshop you feel like will be beneficial to your counseling. You got that? Quiet thing time, think about that for a second. Okay, in just a second I'm going to say go, and this is a popcorn protocol. Anybody can talk in random order, keep it very short and to the point. But once you've popped, you can't pop anymore. Okay, so you can't respond to what somebody says if you've already talked, no more popping. So at random, whenever you feel comfortable, just go ahead and name one thing that was really meaningful to you that will make you a better counselor. Popcorn is perfect.
Listen more, talk less.
I give the counselee a bit of time to think after I ask a question.
Instruct less, ask more.
Have more compassion in something that I don't struggle with. Giving opportunity to think regularly, like every time in quotes, to think about it. I think you kept saying that. I like that.
Building trust through caring about their well-being. I think that would go nice.
More personal.
I'm sorry, I'm invisible while being like that.
I think the flipped classroom applies to homeschooling. I think it works well if we're training children rather than lecturing them, okay, now don't do this, don't do that. We actually did like something like this. If they're slamming the door, like, I'll just go to the door and say, this is how we should shut the door. Let's practice it a few times and actually get them to open and shut. Oh, wow, see, now just show them and have them practice. Or if they're saying something rudely, you say, this is how you say it, and you say it and get them to repeat it instead of just telling them, you shouldn't do this, blah, 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 blah.
And this is a good way to facilitate spiritual conversations in church, like organic spiritual conversations. You're having a facilitator kind of guide, mm-hmm. but they're independently happening. So then people feel more confident in broaching spiritual topics instead of just keeping it on a surface level.
I'm going to shift this one final question before we close. And you don't need to popcorn this, but think about this. If you have responsibilities for guiding biblical counselors, and you have team meetings, or you are in the process, like Dave and I, are training new people through the IBCD system for different counselors, how would this change the way that you train people? Just think about it. You don't need to respond. We'll wrap up by saying that you have a handout. It has got a lot of these things on there.
Detailed explanation of the protocols on the back so that you can start practicing those with people.
You also have a brochure with our contact information. We train people in these strategies, and these are just a few of the strategies that we train with. But we have a full toolbox, and so we go out and do trainings all the time. So if you find that you or you know someone else that can use our services, you can get in contact with us with the contact information on the brochure.
Let's pray for us. Father, just thanks so much for this time together. We're just so thankful we can meet with brothers and sisters and share our lives with them. Father, we just want to be like you. We just want to love people, have genuine compassion, and speak truth into their lives, Lord. So help us to be more like Jesus, who cares about the hearts and souls of those around them, Lord. And help us to teach them effectively and to have them have the ability to teach others. We want a disciple and a disciple. We just ask for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Copyright 2025 IBCD. All rights reserved. More resources are available at ibcd.org.